that's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Kevin Annette, who's been talking and trying to reach people to let them know about what happened to so many of the children of the Indians, the natural Indians there in Canada. And we've seen very, very similar stories. I mean, how could you possibly suppress the fact from the American people that 15,000 French people died during a heat wave in Europe back in the year 2003? How could you possibly suppress the story of the Yemeni children who were actually kidnapped from their parents over in Israel after the Second World War and brought to America to be used in experiments, and most of them were killed in those radiation experiments? And then you can get this off the internet. It's all up there. You can find it. The story of the Moroccan children who were actually the Sephardic children who were actually used for radiation experiments. 100,000 of them had their heads shaved and then received excessive amounts of radiation that destroyed their brains. 100,000 children in Israel. And we could go on and on with the stories. The plutonium experiments on orphans in the United States following the Second World War, and nobody is ever held responsible because they conceal the information. Well, Kenneth has a fascinating story he's going to share with us today. Hi, Kenneth. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing fine.
Why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what information is you're trying to get out?
Sure. Well, my name is Kevin Annett, and I'm a community minister in the downtown part of Vancouver. I work with a lot of Aboriginal people, and especially people who survived these terrible, what they call residential schools. I started as a minister in the United Church. 15 years ago, I was in a lumber town on Vancouver Island called Port Alberni. I began to encounter people who had witnessed children being killed in the United Church residential school. I allowed them a forum to start talking about this. I also learned that the church had been stealing and selling off native land to various logging companies for kickbacks. And I made this public, and after about 2.5 years, I was tossed out of my church without cause, without notice. Finally expelled, I was the only minister in United Church history ever to be publicly defrocked. They spent about $250,000 tossing me out. And this was right after I had begun to go public with the information I had learned, that children were being killed, tortured, and brutalized in these residential schools.
The church was actually running these residential schools for Indian children?
That's right. They a joint operation with the government and the church, the Catholic, Anglican, and United Churches, for more than a century, right up until the 1990s.
All right, fine. And so basically you actually ran into children who'd been in these schools or adults who'd been in these schools as children?
That's right, and in fact, I've recorded a lot of their stories in a book I wrote, Hidden from History, The Canadian Holocaust, and a documentary film we just released last year called Unrepentant, which has won a couple of awards in the States, actually, at the Los Angeles Film Festival. And that actually, you can find that on our website, hiddenfromhistory.org.
All right, fine. Well, of course, most people find this hard to believe. I don't find it hard to believe because I've heard these stories from so many other sources, similar stories, but I never heard about the Aboriginal children there as far as in Canada was concerned. And was this done intentionally? Why did they do this? Why would the church allow it? Why would the government support that sort of thing?
Well, there was a plan set up right after Canada was formed in 1867. There was a plan to extend the railway across to the Pacific coast. And, you know, they were really worried that the Americans were going to come north and grab the west coast. And so there was a real pressure on to grab the land quickly and to get the native people off the land. And one of the main ways they did that was through germ warfare. In a 20-year period...
Hold that thought, Kevin. We'll be right back.
Yep.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And our guest this afternoon is Kevin Annette, who is a minister working in churches in Vancouver Island. And, of course, many years ago, we began hearing these stories about atrocities that were carried out against the Indian children that were living in residential schools. In British Columbia and other parts, but mainly in British Columbia. And it was really a combined effort of the churches, not just one church, the Catholic Church. Several other churches were involved in these government residential schools where children were, frankly, killed. Now, yeah. Why did you pick up this story here? Because, of course, the one thing is that people do not understand that the Indians were certainly a burden on society. They had lived here beforehand, and after all, if you wanted to develop this into a different country, well, you'd have to eliminate the Indians. And of course, we did eliminate a lot of the Indians here in the United States. People have forgotten, of course, they were driven from the East Coast after signing treaties. They'd be allowed to stay on their land, the Trail of Tears. They took them to some crazy place called Oklahoma, the most barren an area where they thought they'd probably die out of the reservations, and then, of course, they struck oil on the reservations, the last thing that the people who perpetrated the crimes against the Indians wanted. But there was a planned program here in the United States to kill off the Indians. So, of course, then the same things, I assume, are going on in Canada. But Kevin came across this, and, well, I'm going to let you tell your story. You were actually forced out of your church. You were actually defrocked as a minister.
That's right, yeah. I was, like I mentioned before, the only minister ever to be publicly defrocked in 1997. It was really like a show trial to scare people off, to make people see that, you know, if you speak out about these things, there'll be a consequence. As I mentioned before, too, one of the things I learned was that in B.C. alone, there was about 95% of the native people were killed off through germ warfare.
How do you mean through germ warfare?
Well, in about a 20 to 30-year period, the deliberate use of smallpox-infected blankets, which has been documented in a lot of villages on the west coast of Vancouver Island, the population fell from almost 2 million down to 20,000 in just over a century. That's about 99% of the population gone. And we also know that in the residential schools, and this was even described by government doctors, there was a policy of taking children who were healthy and deliberately housing them with the kids who were dying of tuberculosis. So kids locked in the same ward together and then never treated. The TB spread like wildfire, and the kids died off. And this accounted for a death rate of over 50% in the residential schools. So we're talking in the tens of thousands of children who died over a century in these schools.
But, of course, Kenneth, you tell people this, they find it difficult to believe. And hang on here. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty with Kevin Annette. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and since Kevin was pointing out that the population of Indians had dropped from about 2 million down to 20,000 over a period, what was that, about 100 years?
In about a century, yeah.
Right, and of course they had used smallpox contaminated blankets to give to them, and of course the Indian doesn't do very well with smallpox. And in fact, we've heard these stories before here in the United States when the Army would give the Indians these smallpox-infected blankets, and then, of course, the smallpox would sweep through the Indian tribes here in the United States. It's difficult, though, for people to believe that anything like this, number one, could happen. Secondly, that it could happen and the public would never hear about it. So you picked the story up there, Kevin.
Well, you know, to give you an example, there's been a long history of cover-up and denial. The Prime Minister of Canada today got up in Parliament and made what he called an apology for the residential schools, but he never talked about the children who had been deliberately killed. He never talked about holding the churches responsible. They really exonerated themselves by just saying, I'm sorry. giving a broad kind of apology. And that's kind of the attitude of Canadians up here. Well, you know, we don't want to really look at this. We'll give them a bit of money and say we're sorry, but we don't want to hold anyone responsible. We're not going to, disinter these graves and see exactly what happened there. We're just going to kind of bury it all. And that's what they continue to do.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, now you've been trying to get the information out for a long period of time. You've put together a book, is it?
That's right. We did a documentary film called Unrepentant, and it's in DVD form. You can actually view it on our website, www.hiddenfromhistory.org.
Hiddenfromhistory.org.
Yep.
All right, fine. It's there. It's available, and you can watch it. And did you produce this yourself, or who produced it for you?
Well, we produced this with a man who worked in Hollywood for about 25 years. He's a retired man, Louis Lawless. He lives up in Vancouver Island. And we got together with a lot of the survivors of these schools and did a lot of interviews and looked at the documents, you know, showing this very high death rate. And it's the first of its kind movie ever done in Canada, because up till now there's been a complete lid of censorship on this whole issue, and there really still is.
For the people who like to think this thing couldn't happen, let me simply mention the plutonium files. You can get up on the Internet, look at the plutonium files, or the plutonium experiments that were done on children here in the United States. And they were children, mentally defective children in orphanages, and they fed them radioactive plutonium products just to see what would happen, and it killed a lot of them.
Yep.
Right here in the United States, how could that happen? And if it did happen, why was nobody ever held responsible? And if it was never held responsible, how did you conceal this from the American people? Well, because we're more interested in Britney Spears and Paris Hilton, and who's going to win the NBA, you know? We're going to know in a week or so. Really important things, rather than, of course, these terrible crimes that have been permitted and allowed to take place in the past. But the difficulty is that, you know, if we don't address these issues, what happened in the past, and hold somebody responsible, I can assure you that similar things will happen again. Well, tell us what's going on today.
Well, like I said, today the government tried to bury the whole issue again in Canada. You'll probably see a lot of stuff in the big media about how Canada's finally taken responsibility for the residential schools, but they haven't. The reality is they've not held anybody accountable. The churches, who are the main actors in this, are completely off the hook. Nobody is going to jail. Not one person has served a day of time in prison for the death of a child in a residential school. The only people who have ever been held accountable are fairly low-level employees who sexually assaulted kids, but the whole history of genocide is being completely buried again, and, you know, officially through the government making the statement today. So we have to work at bringing out the real truth, and one of the ways we're doing that is we're setting up our own citizens' inquiry into genocide in the residential schools. We hope to bring in human rights observers, and we're really asking everybody in the United States to support us in this. And you can go on that website, hiddenfromhistory.org, to see how.
And one more time, the title of the webpage?
www.hiddenfromhistory.org.
Hiddenfromhistory.org.
Hidden from history is one word, and then .org.
All right, fine. Well, now, what about the churches? Aren't there people in the churches up there who are concerned about this? Or are they afraid to speak out after what happened to you?
Well, like I say, there was a big fear campaign around what I tried to do. There's an incredible smear that happened in the Canadian media about me and in the church circles, just to try to keep people who might have more information from coming out. There were ministers who were my friends in the church who were warned that they would be fired, they'd lose their pension if they came out and supported me. They even went to my ex-wife. You know, at the time my marriage was under a lot of pressure. And they offered my wife at the time to pay for her lawyer if she divorced me, which she did. And, they then provided her documents that made me look like I was mentally unstable that she used in divorce court to get custody of our daughters. So, you know, they were doing all these underhanded tricks to really try to break me, because they knew, you know, the truth I was sitting on. And it's now, you know, despite what the government is trying to do, it's still coming out more and more, this truth.
Well, what about the Canadians, you know, when they hear about this? And I would think that the elders of the Indian tribes would be furious about this and would be doing everything they could to get the Canadian people to realize what has happened.
Well, a lot of elders on the ground are trying to do that. That's why I may have been able to produce the book and the film with their help. But a lot of the official chiefs are all government funded, and they've been warned that they'll lose that funding if they take on this issue. In fact, it's some of the government-funded chiefs who are the biggest obstacle to this because they're working directly with the government. Like, don't forget in these residential schools, it was a system of divide and conquer. They would, the kids, native kids who would collaborate and inform on their fellow students, they got better treatment. You know, they got better food and education. And they're often the ones now who are the official spokespeople for this, this whole thing. So there's native people who are implicated in this as well as whites. And, you know, that's the unfortunate truth. But it's people on the ground who are really bringing out the truth about all this.
Well, how many Indians are there in British Columbia today? Was this primarily on Vancouver Island? Was this all of British Columbia?
No, it was all over Canada this happened.
Right, okay.
A lot of it in the West, but there were residential schools, about 130 of them, run all over Canada. And, you know, the situation now is just that the people are continually affected by it. Even if you never went to a residential school, if your parents did, it's passed down intergenerationally, a lot of this trauma. And so, you know, you still have a very high suicide rate. If you're a native person in Canada, you're 15 times more likely to die violently than a non-native person. There's about 2 to 3 million native people in Canada out of about 30 million. So, you know, it's, and they're actually growing at a quicker rate than any other group. So it's just, you look at the native population here and you're seeing long-term effects of what is really amounts to genocide.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, now, are there any of the ministers today who dare support you? Certainly, maybe they didn't support you before, but is this effort still there to terrorize the ministers who have more fear of government than they have of God?
Well, things are beginning to break because this issue is becoming more popular now that eyewitnesses have come forward. You know, to give you an example, after I was on the news last week, an old Native woman called me from Saskatchewan. And she said when she was a little girl, she used to have to hold the furnace door open in this United Church residential school in Saskatchewan. She'd hold the furnace door open and they'd bring down all these little corpses to incinerate. And this happened all the time, she said. And it's people like that who are shaking things up. And more white people are realizing, well, maybe it's a bit safer to talk about this now. So I've actually had more offers from local congregations to come and speak. But at the official level, you know, the national churches, they're very adamant, and they're working with the government and the RCMP and other covert agencies to really try to silence me and silence this whole campaign.
Well, I think the thing is that they can't let get the truth out on so many things. I remember when I was a young orthopedic surgeon just training to be an orthopedist and going to a hospital for suddenly mentally defective children up in Santa Rosa and being told by the orthopedist there that when he went to that hospital, this is a state-run hospital, if a child at first developed pneumonia, they would put them over by the window so they'd be sure, the pneumonia would get worse, leave the window open, so they would die. And, of course, he was infuriated by that. Now, this was, 1953, 1954, somewhere in there. I'm sorry, 1956 and 1957 during my years of residency. But that recently, there was an active program to kill off children in state hospitals in the United States. People do not understand there is a philosophy among certain people that with an intense hatred of humanity and the failure to recognize that everyone is a unique individual made in the image and likeness of God. They may have mental deficiency, but do you really think that we're justified in killing them? And there were people working for the state at that time who felt that way. And I'm sure there are people working for the state who feel that way today. And, of course, would actually do that. In fact, you go into a hospice to say you're supposed to die within 6 months, and if you don't die within 6 months, they'll stop funding for your care. You have to ask yourself, what in heaven's name is going on in America today? And I will tell you that genocide is alive and well today, as it was in the past. But the average individual has no idea what's going on. Well, Kevin, certainly as you have been on the front lines of this, have you been at this really for over a decade now?
That's right. It was 1995 when I was fired. 1997 I was defrocked, but in that period, in the last 12 years, I've been working with, well, literally hundreds of survivors, documenting their stories, holding public campaigns and rallies and other actions to try to bring this alive. And what's really turned the corner in this is when we released our film. It's had over 40,000 hits on the Internet, and it's been watched by a lot of people, including politicians. And not surprisingly, very soon after we released the film, for the first time, this issue was talked about in the Parliament of Canada. Different politicians, they began to acknowledge the children had died in their thousands. So, you know, they've admitted this stuff, and yet they're not holding anybody accountable for it.
Well, of course, this has happened time and time again. Here, it happened here in the United States with the Tuskegee study, where the study set out to kill 400 black people by intensive withholding care from them so they would die and they could autopsy them. And nobody was ever held responsible for murder, which is really what it was about. And the same things, ladies and gentlemen, are going on today. But, of course, you're not hearing about them. Your attention is not being focused. There are people who have a different worldview. Well, how do you make a living? How do you survive?
Well, a lot of it is just by donation, and I'm on the lecture circuit, so, you know, honorariums and that kind of thing.
All right, fine. You hang on there. We'll be right back in just a moment with Kevin Annette. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My producer says you can only stay with us a half hour today. Is that right?
Fortunately, yeah.
All right. Would you be able to stay for the full hour next time we have you?
Yes, that'll be fine.
All right, fine. Well, I realize that you probably have many demands on your time and appreciate your being with us this afternoon. Well, basically, what can people in the United States who hear this story, what can they do? They can get your book. They can get your DVD. But
I'm actually
going to
be on a speaking tour in the States in October, so if people would want to book me in to come and speak, that'd be fine. You can write to me, actually, at hiddenfromhistory@yahoo.ca, and I'd be happy to come down. I'll be coming down the West Coast and through the Midwest as well. And we hope to get especially over to New York and Washington and try to talk to the media and get this issue up, because, like I say, the media in Canada have really censored the whole topic. And thanks to alternative radio like yours and the Internet, we're able to get the message out. But we really need to get out. And when I'm speaking face-to-face with people, it's a lot more impactful. So if people would like to arrange that. Also, one of the things they can do is support our call for an independent inquiry. We've been asking people to boycott the 2010 Olympics in British Columbia as kind of a measure that people can do to show Canada that they're not going to come to a place that was responsible for the murder of so many kids, when they haven't even done the most basic thing and repatriate the remains of these children for a proper burial. So none of that was mentioned today, you know, about how to do that. And I think that kind of pressure from Americans would go far in, you know, telling Canada that it's time to come clean.
Well, yes, basically, do we have any idea how many children actually died in these residential schools?
Well, we're looking at least 50,000 over a century. And that's not a lot. It only means 5 children died in every school every year for 100 years. And we know that there are a lot more than 5 deaths in these schools in a year. So that's probably a conservative figure. About 250,000 kids passed through these schools. We know the death rate was over 50%. So, you know, we're talking easily 50,000.
All right, fine. Now, of course, as far as the schools are concerned, why were the children sent there? Were they sent there by their parents to learn because they couldn't get an adequate education in their tribal schools, or what?
No, it was a system designed to break up and destroy the native culture by separating the families, by isolating the children and basically brainwashing them. They didn't receive much formal education. Most of the kids were sent out and to work in the fields. The girls were sent into local white homes to work as domestics. They were a source of cheap labor. You know, the British did the same thing to my people in Ireland. They just banned any education once they had conquered the Irish. You know, they banned the culture, wiped out about a third of the population with famine and that. And I mean, you know, it's kind of like what that empire did wherever they went in the world. So it's the same thing that happened in Canada.
All right, fine. And, Chris, you think that the majority of deaths were related to diseases that were actually being fostered at that time using the smallpox-infected blankets? Or how were they really eliminating the children?
Well, like I mentioned, with tuberculosis primarily, deliberate exposure to diseases and then not treating the kids. There was a lot of outright murder that went on. You know, we're documenting a lot of that. And people can read that, you know, again, in our website, hiddenfromhistory.org.
All right, fine. Well, we're certainly hoping that people will challenge you and take up the information and go there and find out what really happened. I'm surprised, you know, I'd like to think I'm fairly well informed about most of the things going on, and then I'm constantly amazed to find out there's so many aspects of these terrible things that have happened that even I am totally unaware of. So,
well, there's a link, too, to California. That's where you're based, I believe, right?
Yes, it is.
And a lot of the water that's being pumped down to you folks now, the hydroelectric
hold that, we'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Kevin is simply saying that a lot of the water that's being pumped up down to the United States from Canada, go ahead.
Well, it's coming from British Columbia, and the reason it's happening is because a lot of Native people are being forced off their land by their own chiefs, who are signing deals with hydroelectric companies, some California-based companies, to get the water and the resources down to the States, and a lot of Native people are suffering and dying as a result of this. So that's part of what the agenda has been all along with the residential schools, to force people off their land to get the lands and resources. So there really is a direct link that people have in California to the fate of Native people here in B.C.
Well, first now, do they have reservations for the Native people up there, or what do they have?
Still, they do, yeah. They're under what's called the Indian Act, and, you know, it's a form of legislation that was banned 50 years ago by the United Nations, you know, race-based legislation that says that no Native person has the right to be themselves. They can't even go to court on their own behalf. They're wards of the state still. And that's, again, another form of apartheid legislation which really has to be done away with.
I see. Well, of course, we know that, of course, the Indian up there really still has a terrible time as far as drinking is concerned. So many of them, I remember, we spent some time living in Bella Coola, and there, of course, the Indians were, you know, they were always giving them alcohol. They just couldn't be productive. There'd be a few of them, you know, who just would refuse to drink. They went out, became fishermen, and they made a good living for themselves and their families. But it's almost as if they've always been second-class citizens up there in Canada.
That's right.
All right, fine. Well, then, of course, certainly we have the problem. You're trying to raise an awareness. And we certainly want to try to hold people responsible. Do you want, of course, the Parliament to do something to compensate the families? What specifically is your objective at this time?
Well, the objective is really to hold the parties responsible, you know, to bring we need a war crimes tribunal in Canada. We have to put the government and churches on trial for what they did. That's the only way we're ever going to get any kind of resolution on this. A lot of the perpetrators are still alive, and they, under the United Nations Convention, they committed all five acts defined as genocide. So this is the step that's going to be taken next. And, you know, giving people a little bit of money in that doesn't solve anything. You know, what really solves, it causes healing is when the truth is told, and people can face the truth. And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, I certainly hope that you are successful in that.
Thank you.
But this would be some of the leaders of the Canadian Church, as well, of course, as the government officials you're speaking of now.
Yes, that's right. A lot of these church officials were involved in the residential schools, and they're personally responsible for the crimes that happened, which is one of the reasons they've been helping to cover up and conceal this thing so effectively.
But how could a Christian possibly support something as obscene and grotesque as this?
Well, you know, unfortunately, when some people are convinced that God is on their side, it empowers them to do all sorts of crimes and not hold themselves morally responsible as they normally would. And this is unfortunately what played out in a lot of the history of these churches.
And so they simply went ahead and did what was expedient, and after all,
right.
The Indians were sort of in the way. We got the Indians out of the way while we could exploit their land.
Exactly, yeah. Unfortunately, I have to leave now to get to another interview.
All right, we're going to let you go, but thank you very much, Kevin. We'll look forward to talking to you later.
We'll talk to you again. Thank you, Sam.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Well, our guest today has been Kevin Annett, A-N-N-E-T-T, and, of course, his website is hiddenfromhistory.org, and I think it's an important issue. Of course, we've talked about the plutonium experiments carried out here in the United States, the radiation experiments, the Yemeni children who were kidnapped from their homes over in Israel, about 4,000 of them. And you can go up on the Internet. Fortunately, we do have the Internet. So you can check and make sure I'm telling you the truth. But look up the Yemeni children. And they were brought here, and they were experimented on, and, of course, many of them were killed. And, of course, this has been totally suppressed. And then, of course, it was the Sephardic children. There were about 100,000 of them over in Israel. But you see, there's people who hate the traditional Sephardic Jewish children, and they had their heads shaved, and they were told they were going to treat them for ringworm, and so they radiated them with up to 1,000 times the amount of available radiation, just to see what would happen to their brains. And many of them, of course, never recovered. 100,000 children. How could that possibly have happened? Well, of course, there's so many things you are never going to read about. But if you want the documentation, we'll be glad to provide it for you. When you begin to look at all of these things, you begin to realize there must be organized evil in the world. And, of course, that's the recurrent theme of Radio Liberty, that you cannot understand anything going on today unless you understand there is organized evil. Now, we're going to have open lines the last half hour. We didn't know that Kevin would have to leave. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you'd like to talk on this subject, on something else. And remember, of course, we've talked about this sort of thing, and I will in our talk on Nundare College Genocide, on planned population reduction. Why do you think they're suppressing the information about the relationship between cell phones and brain cancer so much? There's so many things going on today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when we we'll open our lines. If you're out there, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. As Kevin was talking, I was thinking of something that happened during the mid-1980s in Canada. And at that time, why, of course, a great deal of a Factor 8, I believe it was called, Factor 8 was shipped from the United States to Canada to give to the children who were hemophiliacs. Now, at that time, it was known, of course, that the Factor 8, which was a blood product, it was actually had been traditionally given to hemophiliacs to stop their bleeding. It was really a wonderful advantage when it came out down the line. Prior to that, we really had no effective means of preventing bleeding in hemophiliacs. But now we had the Factor 8, they started to bleed, or maybe even given prophylactically. And so many of the hemophiliacs were taking Factor 8. But when the AIDS epidemic came along, and of course the Factor 8 was derived from blood transfusions, from plasma, it was extracted from blood plasma, and then it was, of course, given to the hemophiliacs. But they knew that a large percentage of the Factor 8 that was available was contaminated with the HIV virus, and it would result in the infection of the hemophiliacs. And yet it was given, it was actively encouraged here in the United States, it was encouraged in Canada, it was encouraged in France and in Japan. And you might ask, why would they do that? Now, they actually had a Factor 8. They found out that if you heated it, you could inactivate the virus and so it would be safe. And yet they used up the supplies knowing it would produce HIV and AIDS and really the hemophiliacs. You have to understand that there is a Malthusian concept out there. There's a eugenic concept that says, look, there's certain people with genetic defects and the world would be far better off without them. And how are you going to kill off the hemophiliacs so they don't reproduce and have children who are hemophiliacs? Well, you do that by killing them. That's a very effective means of doing it. And in many of the countries throughout the world, knowing full well that use of Factor 8 would lead to the infection and ultimate death of hemophiliacs, this was used. Now, certainly in both the United States and Canada, nothing was ever done to the public health officials who ordered this and organized this program in both France and Japan, why the doctors in charge were cited and indicted, and I think one of them went to prison, actually in France. But you understand this was done intentionally from a eugenic point of view. It all makes sense. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Chris said we're going to have open lines the last half hour. So we do hope if you're out listening across America, you'll give us a call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And as difficult as it would seem to many people that they would actually have an organized program to kill off children in the residential schools in Canada, I'm not the least bit surprised. because, of course, the same sort of thing has happened here in America. And we've talked about the plutonium experiments that were done on children in orphanages here. The plutonium experiments were done on mentally defective children. With these children were actively killed in the United States. They were used for experimentation. And nobody has ever been held responsible. There's a book. You could still get it. It's called The Plutonium Files. The Plutonium Files. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is not an aberration. This is what's really going on today. And let me simply point out that they have an active program of genocide today. For instance, the Vioxx, when they actually put Vioxx on the market, they knew it would kill between 60,000 and 160,000 people. And they decided it would be cheaper just to go ahead and put it out and pay off the lawsuits than to take it off the market. And knowing full well how dangerous it was, that would kill between 60 and 160,000 Americans, nobody's ever been held responsible. And if you want more information on that, of course, you can go to my website, radioliberty.com, and look at my interview with, not my interview, but the interview we published with David Graham. And the way to do that, you go onto the Internet, you type in Radio Liberty, you Google in Radio Liberty, David Graham. And that'll take you to the newsletter and read what David Graham told the United States Senate. He knew he was in charge of certainly of the testing at the FDA for the safety of medications. He knew that Vioxx was going to kill people, and of course, high officials in the FDA insisted it be allowed certainly out on the market. And this has happened with many of the drugs that are being released today, which is why you should never take a new drug. It may be the latest thing on the market, but so many of these are deadly. And, of course, they're doing the same thing with our children, with the vaccines we're giving them, producing inflammation in their brains. One in six American children today has some sort of neurodevelopmental abnormality. You do not see this in Amish and Mennonite children who are not allowed to take those vaccines. Certainly we have a phenomenal increase in asthma. I think about 6% of our children have asthma. You don't see it in the Mennonite and the Amish children. And then we see the type 1 juvenile diabetes, the autoimmune disease. So many people have autoimmune diseases and all the complications of that. And they're directly related to the use of vaccines. They are neither safe nor are they effective. And if you'd like to get the little book we have by Neil Miller called Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? And his second book on autism, you need to get this information. You need to get it out to your families, if you really care about them. Well, let's go to Vernon, who's calling from Salinas. And again, my telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, or 464-8295, here in the Central Coast of California. Hi, Vernon. How are you doing?
Magnificent, Dr. Stan.
Good, good.
My question was, how do you feel about the AIDS epidemic?
I think it was designed for population control.
Yeah, because before 1978, there was no blood with AIDS contamination.
You're absolutely right.
All of a sudden, bam.
And you have to understand, though, that Vernon, that this is designed to kill off blacks. Predominantly, it is genetically engineered to kill off blacks. How could I make that statement? Well, first of all, there have been a couple of people who were involved in the process of creating this terrible disease, this terrible epidemic, who've come forward. There's a book called Full Disclosure, written by Gary Glum, I believe is his name, but the book is Full Disclosure. And a man who was dying of pancreatic cancer, who'd been part of the program to create this terrible disease, came forward and told him the story. The same thing happened with our friend Dr. Garth Nicholson, who was told by somebody who'd been involved. And then, of course, we have the special reports. There were 15 of them. We have several of them. They're called the name escapes me now, the Special Virus Cancer Project. The Special Virus Cancer Project, which was actually organized by the CIA. Now, they wanted to destroy all the records of this, but they didn't do a very good job. The CIA is not very efficient, and they left some of these. We actually have them, and you will find out how they recruited doctors from all across this country to create this terrible new disease. Go ahead.
Yes. You know what? I've tried to explain it to friends, and you've heard some people jump up and say this, and the first thing that they say is, oh, you know what, that's racist and this. You know, I'm a black man myself, and I don't think that it has anything to do with being racist or anything. I think it has everything to do with control. We're in a day and age where race doesn't matter. They want to control us all, and this is a systematic agenda. And like you say all the time, that you know what, the American people have to look out for themselves. And the way to do that is by listening to Radio Liberty and getting as much information off your show as they can. Well, I appreciate your time, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
God bless. Thanks very much for calling, Vernon. Let's go over to John, who's from calling from Southern California. John, did you have a question or comment?
Yes. I recall you mentioning some time ago about an official of the Communist Party of the USA who testified in the mid-20th century that under orders from Moscow, she found 1,000 angry young men and enrolled them in seminaries in order to undermine the church. And I was trying to recall the details, and I thought you might remember that. I remember it was mentioned on several of your shows in the past.
And I recall that. I really don't remember exactly the details of that. I do know that David Horowitz, who had been raised in a communist family and supposedly became a conservative, and he testified that the communists had specifically infiltrated the seminaries, the religious seminaries here in the United States. And, of course, that story we can be verified by our good friend Colonel Ron Ray, who has told this story a number of times on our programs. And the other story I remember, but I really don't remember the details of it. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. So you think either Ron Ray or David Horowitz, they might know about
it? They might very well know. I think that Colonel Ron Ray, and let's see, his website, as I recall, is firstprinciples.org,
yeah.
firstprinciples.org. And if you have difficulty, you can always give me a call back off the air, and we'll be glad to get the information for you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much. And let's go to Marcella, who's in Salinas. Hi, Marcella. How are you doing?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, I'd like to ask if you have been able to, well, I can usually figure most of this stuff out on my own, but have you figured out a position on so-called net neutrality, which for the listeners, I take it would mean that by charging higher fees, supposedly for premium bandwidth, that the internet providers can basically lock out the small timers that just want to provide information, even if they have, you know, 100 megabytes on their web pages, but then they still won't be able to have the people that would want to download from their sites get any bandwidth that's not slowed to a crawl.
I really can't comment on that, Roger. I don't know anything about it. I'll have to look into it. I appreciate that. Anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I wanted to ask. I know you had. Oh, this goes back quite a while now, but I hope he's still in good form. But you were going to get maybe Howard Phillips on maybe once a month. That kind of, I don't know what happened there, but then also I was kind of hoping you could get Dr. John Eidsmo. I had to unload some of these constitutional test questions I've been saving up to.
Basically, of course, Roger, as you know, we have certainly Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution on every month, which reminds me, I better give him a call and get him scheduled for this month. The month seems to be flowing by, and we don't have him on. But we have David Whitney, who works very closely with Dr. Eidsmo. So that is something we do. We don't ordinarily, however, take questions during that hour because we want you to get the full benefit of his wisdom. And sometimes we get questions, and it completely throws us off the track of what the guest is trying to say.
Well, if you could indulge me in a minor grouse there, I think that's kind of, it tends to be repetitive. It's good for the newer folks, I think, but it tend to be repetitive, and then I don't know if he is capable of answering the question that I don't know myself. That's why I was kind of hoping to get Dr. Eidsmo.
Well, we can try to get him on. Certainly, we've had him on in the past, and we think he's a great great American, and certainly one of the leading constitutional scholars of our time. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Roger. God bless. And let's go to Marcella, who's calling from Salinas. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. or 464-8295. And Marcella is calling something about Time Magazine, the Truth Vaccines. Tell me about it, Marcella.
This week's issue, it has a picture of a baby, and the look on his face is just priceless. It's worth buying the article, even though it's 99% fallacy. But the expression on his face is just, he looks with such horror, and there's a needle ready to probe him. But and I read the article, and 99% of it was false. And the cover actually says, worried about autism, many parents are opting out of immunizations, how they're putting the rest of us at risk, which really infuriated me because I'm the mother of two vaccine-injured children, one severely autistic, and I know many people that have vaccine-injured children, not as bad as mine, because mine is very severe. And why don't they ask the opposite? What's going to happen to all these 4 million severely damaged kids? And there will be 4 million, and these are just the severe ones like my son, by 2015. What's going to happen to them when we're dead and gone? Social Security is going bankrupt, the schools, the regional centers. I'm trying to get my other son, who has high-functioning Asperger, but he has his own issues. And I talked to the psychologist at the regional center. He is so overwhelmed. He says we're getting so many, and most of them are babies, I'm sure, because there's 1,100 every 90 days in California, one every 20 minutes of the severe cases, and those are basically the only ones they take. It's very hard getting a child in. Autism used to represent, 5% of their caseloads. Now it's reaching like 80 to 90% of autism, whereas the other four categories are really minimal compared to the autism cases. And also I want to let the viewers know, they probably didn't hear about it on the mainstream media, but they had a rally a week ago. I wish I could have gone, but there's no way I could go. In Washington, D.C., it was headed by Jenny McCarthy, Jim Carrey, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and there were over 8,000 people in attendance, which doesn't sound like a lot, but you figure it's almost impossible for someone with a brain-damaged child to attend. And there were people from Canada, Mexico, and there was no coverage on the mainstream media about this rally. And their slogan was, green our vaccines, take the toxins out, there's too many too soon. And I was just wondering if you had heard about the rally, because it was not on I only found out about it on National Vaccine Information Center website. There's a wonderful series of pictures on it. And as far as the article on Time, I know there was a rebuttal made by the wife of Don Imus, I forget her first name, but she wrote a wonderful rebuttal to this. I'm sure Time Magazine is not going to print the rebuttal. She has an Asperger's child, and they believe the vaccines are the cause.
Well, there's no question the vaccines are the cause. They know that because Dr. Geyer got into the CDC websites, which they marked top secret. No, nobody can get into them. But when they got into them, they found out that the children who got vaccines, you know, that had mercury in them were 25, 27 times more frequent to have autism than the ones that didn't. Now, they've doctored the website since then. We've talked to guys. They were able to get into it. And of course, the man, congressman who arranged it was a man named Kurt Weldon. They've gone after him. They've got him out of Congress. Now they're going to destroy him. That was all sorts of phony charges against he and his family for corruption when he was a congressman. But the reason we went up to Congressman Kurt Weldon is he insisted that those files be opened up. There is no question at all. Anybody who needs to get this, I think it's called the Simpsonville. Simpsonwood report. It's up on the internet. We actually have a great DVD. It's called Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. But with that comes a CD-ROM, which we throw in for nothing. This got literally thousands of pages of documents showing the toxicity of mercury. And it's not just the toxicity of mercury. It's the whole process of vaccination. People say, well, let's take the mercury out of the vaccines. They're still not going to be safe because the whole purpose of the vaccine is to mobilize the immune system. And, of course, the body has an immune system. The brain has a separate one. And every time you vaccinate a child, you turn on that immune system in the brain and it begins to produce damage. And that is why one out of every six American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality, according to the Centers for Disease Control And yet, of course, the American people have no idea that there is an organized, intentional effort to hurt our children. People find that so difficult to believe, and I know it must be a terrible, terrible thing for you. We actually carry the Simpson Wood. We have that in the syllabus form. If anybody can't get it, it is available on the Internet, but it's available from Radio Liberty. It's about, an inch and a half thick. But we make it available. We also carry the NASA Security Study Memorandum 200, which came out of the government back in 1974 over Henry Kissinger's signature, talking about the importance of world population control, killing off large parts of the world's population. We have these things. You're not going to find them elsewhere. Marcella, my heart goes out to you. I know what a terrible burden it is. Do you have anything else you'd like to say before let you go?
There's a magazine I just discovered that's been out for 4 years, but you don't find it on your newsstand. It's called Spectrum, and it's a wonderful magazine, and they talk about the vaccines. And last month it had Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the cover, and I know he spoke at the rally, and I heard that he said something like, this Iraq war will end up costing like $3 trillion, but it will pale in by comparison by the cost of all these vaccine-injured children. And right now they're having a 40-year commemorative to his father, and Robert F. Kennedy was wonderful. He fought for civil rights, and I worked for him when I was in high school. But you barely ever hear anything about Robert F. Kennedy because he is on our side, and he was at the rally, and he wrote Deadly Immunity and Rolling Stones a few years. They do not cover him. And it really upsets me.
Well, I think this thing about Robert Kennedy is that Saran, who supposedly shot him, was standing in front of him, but all the bullet holes came from behind. Gee, I wonder how that could happen. Well, anyway, that's a whole different story. We'll have to get into it another time.
One more thing. Could you have Dr. Tim O'Shea on your show one of these days? He's wonderful. He talks about all the vaccines.
All right. Well, we have some excellent material put out by Neil Miller that we carry. Vaccines, are they safe and effective? We recommend that book to you. Vaccines, are they safe and effective? I'm going to let you go.
Okay. Thank you, Dr.
Thank you so much. And we have somebody else. Is this Rod in Santa Cruz? Rod, are you there? Well, let's see who we have here. Rod, is that you?
Hello.
Are you, Rod? Just hang on. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We'll be back in just a moment here, and we'll be talking to Rod while we're off the air, but we think that this is such an important issue. You must understand, just as they destroyed the lives of the Canadian children, and they died, so they're destroying the lives of the American children, and they're forced to live with this terrible affliction. Well, Rod, what can we do for you? You want to talk about chemtrails?
Yeah, I wanted to mention that. I wanted to inquire if you knew the properties that have been found in some of the sediment from the chemtrails.
Well, apparently there are a number of different things. I mean, certainly some of them have barium and aluminum, and others have tungsten in them, and certainly there's a great deal of question as to what they're trying to accomplish. It's all top secret. I think it has to do with weather modification. Have you ever seen such crazy weather as we're having now?
No, I haven't.
And you realize, of course, that farmers can't get their crops planted. There's going to be food shortages here in America. We got too much rain, you know, in some areas and droughts in the other. And, of course, over there in Australia, they've had a drought for 7 years. We know that the government knows how to modify the weather. We know that they're putting up the chemtrails. We know that they have the HARP program, the High Altitude Rural Research Project, and they cannot let the American people know. But if there's nothing to conceal, why is all this top secret? Why is the material on chemtrails top secret? Did you want to tell me anything about the composition of chemtrails, Rod?
Well, your information syncs with mine as far as barium, aluminum, and salt.
Right.
Kinds of salts in there, but I'm wondering what effect that would have on people with weakened immune systems.
I really don't know, but I believe, of course, they're doing a great deal to weaken our immune systems, and there may be other things that they're putting up there. We'll have to get Clifford Connicar on, or the gentleman up in Canada we've had in the past. We should do some more programs, and we'll try to do that. Keep in touch. Listening, Rod.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Annette is calling from West Virginia. Hi, Annette. How are you doing?
Uh, Good evening, Dr. Stan. I feel so bad for that woman with the autistic children, and I wanted to make a suggestion which she may try out. I don't know if she realizes it, but calcium bentonite clay, the pharmaceutical purity, will pull that poison out of the brain. I can give you the 800 number where I got mine, the very pure kind, and I mixed it with green food, the powdered green food, and also a brand of magnesium called MagnaCalm, and that cured my arthritis. But the principal ingredient, I'm so sure, was the clay. The clay is fantastic.
I've heard that same thing, and I'm going to just put you on hold and ask my producer to get the telephone number from you. Is that okay?
Oh, yes, sir.
Because we're going to have to go back here and... But the program's over, but you hang on. We'll get that telephone number. God bless, and thanks very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And if my producer wouldn't mind picking up that number. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And when you hear stories like the one of our caller who has two autistic children, understand, ladies and gentlemen, they know what they are doing. We have a book, it's a small, easy-to-read book, called Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? By Neil Mellor. We have another book he's written called Autism and Vaccination and the Relationship. And you'll want to get these two books and read them and get copies and send them to those that you love. We have a four-tape set on vaccines. We have a four-tape set on autism. We have several four-tape sets on mercury because the part it plays in Alzheimer's disease is so important. We even have a four-tape set or four-CD set on Alzheimer's disease, which is at the end of the life spectrum, where, of course, many, many people are contracting these terrible, terrible diseases unnecessarily. So, and Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, they go together, and they are not necessary, but unfortunately, we have so many people, of course, are developing these things. And there are things that you can do to protect yourself and perhaps simply stop the progression of this. That's why we suggest our four-tape set on Alzheimer's disease. We carry a wonderful book on autism. It's called by David Kirby, and you just have to request the book. The name slips my mind. And then, of course, we carry the Simpson-Wood syllabus, and we recommend that as well. The book is called Evidence of Harm. So there's so much information available from Radio Liberty. Evidence of Harm, The Story of Autism, and then, of course, Neil Miller's book on autism and vaccines, and then the book Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? And then certainly our four-tape set on vaccines. You need to get the information. You need to get it to those you love. It's vitally important that people understand that their children are being poisoned, and this is not happening accidentally. And those of you who heard, of course, Kevin Annette's remarks earlier in the program will recognize there really are evil and wicked people out there who are intent upon destroying the lives of others. We have a great four-tape set on the Tuskegee study. You'll not find anything similar to it. That's the Tuskegee. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV. War. And then, of course, we hope you want to get my material, Nundare College Genocide, a DVD. Planned Population Reduction, that's a DVD as well, talk we gave for the Prophecy Club. We have a four-tape set on genocide. We have a four-tape set on why do we still have cancer. Probably one of the most interesting four-tape sets we have is called The New Order of the Barbarians, where you hear Dr. Dunnigan, who is a practicing pediatrician up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, tell about hearing a lecture by Dr. Richard Day, who is the medical director at Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day said he represented a group called the oligarchy, I believe that was the term, but under any circumstances that they had treatments for cancer, they were going to keep them suppressed. And, of course, they were being keep them in the basement of the Rockefeller Foundation. There were too many people. They might as well die of something. They might as well die of cancer. Remember, at the beginning of the last century, 1900s, 1 in 33 people developed cancer. Today, 1 in 2. Do you think that's happening by accident? It's not happening at all. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're concealing the truth from the American people. So let me suggest you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Look at the various items we carry, books, videos, four tape sets or four CD sets. And then, of course, get the material we've talked about on vaccines. Are they safe and effective? The Simpson-Wood syllabus. The syllabus on National Security Study Memorandum, a previously secret government report. That's the National Security Study Memorandum 200, NSSM 200. We have Dr. MacArthur's testimony before the House Appropriations Committee asking for $10 million so they could create a new disease that would be useful for mass killing. We have it. It's all available from Radio Liberty. Understand, we're dealing with organized evil. When you understand it, it all makes sense. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.